The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning. I just had to
say, good morning. That's the word you're looking for.
I needed to say something different. I mean, I listen to these shows sometimes and it's like I've got this speech in front of me.
Yeah,
and it's just boring.
But we all know you don't.
And it's boring.
And they just want everyone to know that Elizabeth already had her little pratfall, but we weren't.
We weren't on the air. And they're like, don't do it off the air. Nobody can see and laugh at it.
Yeah.
Welcome to We the People Radio.
Premature pratfall.
Yeah. Premature pratfall. don't say that faster in a political speech.
It's a pee-pee.
I knew we were going down the hill.
Welcome to We the People Radio.
People are like, I'm tuning into another channel.
You're joining Aaron and Elizabeth and Bob.
That was all Elizabeth, by the way. I just want to be clear about that.
Yeah, and it's Sunday morning, as you know, and we're streaming and chatting live at wethepeopleradio.us. It's a great webpage. Robert does a fantastic job. Everything about today's guest will be on that webpage, along with all the links to his contact information, his websites. Super great for all the information that you need. And also, every show is archived since the beginning of the show, so you can click on any one of the previous shows and email that right out to everybody you know. So there's no reason not to spread the word far and wide.
A lot of good information on there, too, because now we're starting to see some of these topics come up. You know, the big buzzword is, it's actually a word and a number, Agenda 21. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for a long time, it was like, oh, what are those guys talking about? That's just a bunch of, you know, crazy talk there. Yeah. And now
you see more and more people coming out on the same topic. So you think to yourself, okay, it's not just me and it wasn't just that other guy. It's like starting to kind of become part of the English language now.
Sure. But the thing is, too, a lot of people don't know what that means. And, you know, if you Google that, it's a gigantic wasteland there. So you can listen to a few shows, I guess, was my whole point. We have a couple of shows with Michael Shaw on there, and he would be a great place to start on that. Today we're headed into
very interesting,
a really wide range of topics, actually. I would really encourage you, go to wethepeopleradio.us, because you're going to need a couple of web pages here, and you're going to want to look up some of this stuff. It's way more than...
We're going global today.
We're kind of going global. We have a gal that was working with us here in Reading when we first started the Tea Party, actually, several years ago, and she has been working out of town.
And, I know who that is.
Yeah. Katrina. And so she... shot me a message that she knew of somebody that we probably wanted to hear from, and we had a little miscue. He could have been at one of our meetings, but we had a little miscue. So anyway, before he goes back to Israel, we can catch him on the radio. So called him the other day, and we had this very long chat about all these different things, but one of his big companies is Proactive Global Security, and I'll just give you a little blurb on that. As Proactive Global Security's founder and director of international business development, Israel plays a fundamental role helping organizations throughout the U.S. understand terrorism from the perspective of the victim. He is an international lecturer and recognized expert in practical disaster and response relief. And I won't go any farther or ruin any more of the story there.
Sorry.
What are you doing over there?
I'm turning pages.
I guess so.
I'm reading the funny paper.
I was like, we got like the public library sound effect going on.
Yeah,
over
I'm flipping
here.
Through the newspaper while you guys are talking.
Actually, if we had the public library sound effect going on over there, we'd have a lot of...
Looking for my notes on today's guest.
Oh, there you have
since
it.
Since I was checking out all the websites and reading up about him.
The other thing that just seems so far removed, but actually makes a lot of sense, is the other website is UnseenSites, SITES.com. And for people who would really like to see the real Israel. And I thought, wow, you know what? That'd be like seeing the real California.
Right.
You know, how many people come to California and they go to Fisherman's Wharf and they go to
and then they want to go
Disneyland.
And they want to go on the giant bus tour so they can see celebrities' homes.
I forgot about that. But, you know, they never see Northern California, perhaps.
Well, everybody thinks that the Bay Area is Northern California. How many people
there
came
people
up
who
here?
Think Monterey is Northern California.
How many people came up here for that event in Yreka and absolutely couldn't believe that there was still California at this end?
Yeah, it's like it took
they
so
were shocked.
Long. So,
but we like being a well kept secret.
We do, we do.
Yeah,
we don't want to mess that
durable.
Up. But I guess my point was, what an interesting dovetail into this other line of work. You know, you could go there and really see the real country, and not actually be in danger. You'd be there with an expert. So, do we have Israel on the phone?
We do have Israel on the phone.
Nice. Hello.
Israel
good morning.
Stefanski.
Hello and good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
All right. So, I know, but nobody else does. Tell people how you got involved in this. Kind of your background a little bit.
Yeah, my parents moved over from New York to Israel in the late 60s, I assume. And then a family of seven boys. And one day when I was 15 on the way to school, it was at 6:45 a.m. And I saw a bus, the second bus number 18, explode right in front of me.
Yikes.
And instead of, you know, running away, I felt like a push, an inside push, I guess like an epiphany, pushing me towards the bus, go help out these wounded people. And at the age of 15, I don't know too much, or looking at it with, is this for real or a dream? But I knew that I had to do something about it. And that was my first taste of jumping into the pool of what the future will look like for me. And a few hours later, when the event was over, going then back to school and trying to sink into my mind, what have I actually seen? And realizing this is real. This is where I live, and this is part of what goes on, is because we have a certain enemy that wants to wipe us off the map of the earth for our belief or for who we are. And continuing school, but I knew I had to do something about it in the future. That means to go to medical school, to be able to be an EMT, a medic, that when something like this ever happens again, I could be ready at the front line and be able to give the victims a better treatment. And then continuing further than that, you have in Jewish law is from dust you come, from dust you shall return. Then all the blood of a person that spills out or comes out of a person's body after he dies has to be brought back to burial, because the blood is considered part of the soul. So all these victims that get killed by a terrorist attack or any unnatural disaster, he started organization Zaka. And then I was still 15 years old, but I knew something has to happen. And today that organization has close to 2,000 members all over Israel and some also international. And the job is, when something happens, an unnatural disaster, you go right away. You leave everything and you go right away to help the victims and to collect their body parts and blood and bring them back to burial and give them back to their families. So that was how my life pretty much shaped up to its today. And then when you're 18 in Israel, every boy goes to the army for 3 years of being a part of that, and still being a part of all the disasters, meaning being a rescue member for all the disasters, suicide bombers and shooting and stabbings that took on in the years in second half of the 90s and starting in 2000, the second intifada. It was day in and day out, and sometimes 3-4 times a day where I was on the scene of some terrorist attack or something. So that's how pretty much my shape, my life from 15 went on to this day.
So basically, with Proactive Global Security, you work with and train first responders. Is that correct?
Yes. The Proactive Global Security started after 9/11, when the U.S. government started to come to Israel and say, what can we do to learn that we could do to be better prepared? So me as an American citizen, that I was on the front line in Israel and was able to see it all, I was asked to accompany the Americans that were coming to Israel because as an American I was able to relate to them and speak to them. But I had an interest more of hearing from them what they would like to learn. I know everybody comes to Israel and they want to see it all. But for the time you come, there's a minimum amount you can see and learn and want to see everything. So I was trying to get the focus from them, what they would like to learn, because each place has its own unique problems. And you guys in the Bay Area, so you know what your problems are. And that's once I figured out what they want, I was trying to help them connect to that type of department in Israel that we have that they can better learn from one another. And then also show them the rest, you know, of how Israel's response, how quick we do it, the EMS, the police, the bomb squad, the fire department. So it was all about integrating everything that we can that the first responders, law enforcement will need and see how we do it in Israel. And then figuring out, can America do what Israel does and the fast response and getting cleaned up after 4 hours, even if it's a suicide bomber with 30 people killed within 4 hours, the road will be open again for traffic. If you see, look at this today in America, it will take you probably 5 years before that ever happens.
Yeah, and you'd need 9,000 permits to do it.
Yeah, no yes. Kidding.
So,
wow. We have to take
that's what I took on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say we have to take a really quick break here, but when we come back, I was looking at the next paragraph, actually, on your description here. When you were sent to Houston, when the space shuttle disintegrated, and it says you subsequently aided in recovering victims and then also worked with Hurricane Katrina. So we're curious to know how you wound up being sent here to do that, and maybe we could pick up with that when we come back. We need to thank our advertisers here at We the People Radio. We'll be right back with you on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
If you have a vehicle, a boat, or even a plane that needs to be transported, you need Miller Auto Transport. In the auto business for over 40 years, we take pride in the efficiency, the professionalism, and the safety of our transport teams. Unmatched by any other auto transport or carrier company in the nation, we transport to all 50 states and overseas. To find out more or to get a quote, visit our website at MillerAutoTransport.com.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Get up in the morning, slaving for bread, sir, so that every mouth can be fed. Call me Israelite, sir. Get up in the morning, slaving for bread, sir, so that every mouth can be fed.
Welcome back to We the People Radio. That's an awesome song.
Okay, Bob, do tell.
Desmond Dekker and the Aces, 1969, The Israelites.
Ah, that's
nice.
Beautiful.
A
little reggae for you this morning.
There you go.
Very good.
So we're back with Yezreel Stefanski, the founder of Proactive Global Security, all about teaching others when they're first responders on really disastrous scenes of violence and terrorism and so forth, how to quickly react get in there and get stuff done.
How to get rid of the bureaucracy and get it done. So talk to us about the space shuttle and Katrina and all those things. How did you wind up over here working on that?
To Israel, it was a great and exciting time because it was the first time where Israel sent an astronaut up, and together with the Americans, it was literally every day the media in Israel was covering from the minute they decided to send them out. So it was covered very well in the Israeli media. And then when the accident happened, right away it was like, okay, we're sending out the team. So again, I was the American in the whole operation. So right away, here, there you go.
Oh, so, I forgot. That's right. It's been a while. I didn't remember that Columbia had somebody from your country. That's right. Forgot about that. It's been a long time ago. What year was that? Do you remember?
2003.
2003, yeah.
Yes.
Wow. We're getting old when 2003 seems like a long time ago. Yeah. And then you wound up staying through Hurricane Katrina. Did you come here with a whole bunch of other, or with a...
Yes, a few you came over, and then when that was over, and then Hurricane Katrina happened, then I just jumped ship, got on a plane, and went straight over to New Orleans.
Interesting.
Like I said, I don't waste time. Take the knowledge that I have been over the years in Israel and bring it back home over here. And like you said, to cut the bureaucracy, yeah, not wait who's in charge and who's going to take the whole scene that went on in Hurricane Katrina. And like, I'm a one-man band, and a few others came in, and we were there for a month. And we were able to help out a lot.
So how did you coordinate with FEMA or the Red Cross when you came into Katrina? How were you received? Did you have to jump through their red tape?
No red tape. I had a few friends living in New Orleans that were a part of the law enforcement. I got to meet up with them. And then from there, I jumped to wherever I was able to. I didn't waste time to try to fight the bureaucracy. I jumped in, whether it was right the Red Cross or it was other search and rescue teams down the way, other was churches that came down with their teams to help. Wherever, you know, the door was open, I was there right away.
That's great. We talked yesterday. We spoke about just the difference of how the U.S. handles those things versus how they handle it in Israel. And I'd rather you explain it than me.
It's the way I explain it, and it will be very bold in a way. In Israel, we are born and raised with the a certain biblical verse of where every person is in charge, takes a certain liability for another, meaning, if I'm translating it right, and it says, whoever saves a life saves the entire world. You know, because a life, you can build a whole world. And this is what we have in our forefront from the day we are educated. And then when we have something going on in Israel, I literally say it. You could be working at your desk, and if you are a member of the first responders and you're in the middle of something, you get up and you go. Your boss won't fire you for doing it, even if it's four times a day, you know, because saving a person's life is saving an entire world. Here in America, it's... just a second. Who's going to pay for the time that I went away from the desk? Who's going to pay for the equipment that I need to do? And that what makes the difference. We go right away. We worry about how we're going to refill the equipment, and we worry about it later. First, let's save the lives. Then we worry about everything else.
And for the people who, because we also chatted about this. You hear oftentimes that, oh, well, sure, they can do that over there because it's a small country. And the United States is such a big place. That's what makes all the difference. And
yeah.
What do you say to that?
I don't think it would make a difference because each place is its own, like its own world. If you're going to tell me California, yes, California is a big place. But each neighborhood, each area has its own law enforcement, police, first responders. Yes, they could do it. You should always look at yourself as a small little country in a big in a big area, big country, big state. But it could be done. It's the will. I know everybody comes up with all these excuses. Oh, we can't be too big. We got too many agencies. Yes, if there's a will, there's a way. You could do it. You could work together. You could stop the turf that goes on between the fire department, the police, where you don't talk to one another. If you're in the same line of work, you got to talk to another. I don't care if you're a fireman. I don't care if you're a policeman. You guys are in the same job to save lives. So you guys need to talk between you if you have to do it. And not, oh, no, we are better because we are the firefighters and we have a better, name here since 9/11 that the firemen became like holy of the holiest versus somebody else. To me, it's not you're holy. If you become holy because you're in the job of saving lives, then do it.
We also chatted about unions, and I think sometimes people think it's only here that there are unions, but you said you guys have them in Israel. They just aren't such a big, it's not such a big factor.
And how is it that they're not such a big factor?
Because the people eventually got up and booted them out from power, because we couldn't have them in Israel. The union strike every few months. They don't get paid. They don't get what they want. They strike the country down. Who suffers from it? The individual. And in days that they don't collect the garbage because of a union strike, for sometimes 3-4 days, and the garbage piles up and stinks, and who knows what diseases come out of it just because they want a few more pennies, you know? And whether it's the airport or whether it's whatever they strike, whether it's buses, they can do anything they want. And I think at a certain point, the Israeli people said enough is enough.
Yeah, I think we're probably cruising toward that point at some point. You mentioned airport. So can we move to the concept of airport security? You have I thought you had a lot of good information about that.
Airport security is, in Israel, we have, one airport that's International Ben Gurion Airport, where we have several million travelers a year. And that airport, you can ask any American, though, if they were pulled over aside, they'll tell you the interrogation was very, very kind of rough. Like, where did you stay? Who did you meet? What stores did you buy? What did you buy? You know, it's very what's called intrusive type of interrogation. The purpose is not to interrogate you. The purpose is to make sure that you get onto the plane safe and that plane gets to its destination safely. And we're trying to find that consistency if somebody's lying. How do we know you didn't meet somebody or while you were in Israel, somebody came over to you that maybe thought you looked very innocent and maybe gave you a little package to give over to a friend in America? You know, that's what we're trying to see. So you don't have the concept of taking off shoes, taking off your belts. You go through the regular metal detectors. We don't have any of those intrusive scanners that you guys have all across the U.S. And it keeps going. And it's very comfortable, very nice, they're very friendly, very accommodating. And it's fun to go through the airport. Somebody that went through the investigation will say, you know what, that was very kind of rough because they're not used to it, to get questioned. So, okay, but at least you see that You get questioned for a reason, because they want to make sure you are safe.
So rather than taking off your shoes and giving them your belt and then getting x-rayed, they actually profile you.
Yes,
with questions. What a great idea. We need to take another quick break. When we come back, I want you to tell them about the body scanners, what they're really for. Hang with us, folks. We'll be right back on We the People Radio. You're listening to KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Bacon, Reagan, Palestine, terror on the airline, Ayatollahs in Iran, Russians in Afghanistan, Wheel of Fortune, Sally Ride, heavy metal, suicide, foreign debts, homeless vets, AIDS, crack, Bernie gets, hypodermics on the shore, China's under martial law.
Got anything on Billy Joel? Welcome back to We the People Radio.
Bob.
Hey, we're streaming and chatting live. The chat room's, well, interesting to say the least this morning. But We the People Radio.us, and we are with Yezreel Stanovsky. And I guess this interesting, this conversation is going to get really good the second hour.
Yeah, I was telling her that we get to talk about politics and, you know, Israel-U.S. relations and all that. But before we do that, talk to people about those body scanners that we all hate so much.
Since the what we call the Christmas Day underwear bomber, it was interesting to see what went on here in America. As an outsider, meaning an Israeli that looks into America and seeing this certain paranoia that the Americans go through, or the government puts you in. Oh, somebody was under Obama tried to blow up the airplane. So we're going to put all the Americans into a certain box and make everybody go through a scanner. But if you would think for a second, that under Obama did not come from America. He came from somewhere overseas called Amsterdam. So why are you putting us in the swimming pool to go through the scanners? But that's what we did, that we put right away everybody into a point where now everybody has to go through the scanner. That was more of a pitch sale that some people wanted. Oh, when it comes to security, we're more about toys here in America versus solving the problem. So now everybody has to go through the scanner, and then every time something happens, oh, we'll modify, the picture won't be as good, that's not good, and not realizing that all that information gets kept to go to somewhere. It's not just sitting there and getting deleted after 5 seconds. That's so they tell you. But the inside rooms, I would just say that every person that goes through this whole body gets, and that face is there too. And that face is going to go into a pilot that's right now sitting in several police departments, that on the iPhone, they're going to have a device as big as an iPhone, and they will be able to just stand in front of you, look at you, and if you went through one of those scanners, your picture will be there. So they right away will be able to put one-on-one together.
So skip the body scanner?
I say yes.
Go for
don't
the pat down.
Don't be the guinea pig. Go for the pat down. I'm all for the pat down.
Yeah, it's interesting because people are, of course, you know, it's just funny the way Americans think. It must be humorous for you. You know, people are all worried that they're, you know, going to be naked x-ray pictures of them on the internet, you know, and they don't even recognize the obvious. Hey, they're getting a picture of your face for facial recognition software.
Well, I don't think most people know that. But, you know, the thing is, well, they do now if they listen to the show. But when they tell us that the body scanners don't maintain the image, I would think that most people have learned not to take anything that the government says at face value, pun intended. I think we know better to look beyond that. I hope.
So if you know that, I mean, I agree to it. But if you know it, the question is, are we solving the security problem? Or this is just to make the American people feel good that if something does happen, the governments can say, oh, we've done whatever we can to protect you. But, you know, all we can do is try. You know, we've done it all. Yes, somebody slipped through the crack one way or another. Is this the solution for the problem of keeping airlines safe? You know, whether you're going to say, oh, by checking a 6-year-old or a 90-year-old with a diaper?
Yeah, no kidding. Now, what
this
do you,
is not the... Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, you know, is all that just ridiculous when you look at it compared to the way you guys run your airport security?
Yes, it does look ridiculous. It's because it's about, to us in Israel, it's about keeping the people safe and to make sure that a plane gets off the ground safely and gets to its destination safely. Realistically, can you make a bomb out of explosives? Can you make a bomb out of, you know, 3%, 3 ounces of aerosol, that's the most you can bring, but the fourth already is going to be a problem. That's after the shoe bomber. Realistically, not everything that they tell you is a problem. Yes, if you're going to bring plastic explosives, that can be an issue. But we went to America, you went to a crazy extreme. In Israel, you wear your belt, you keep your shoes on, and you can walk with as big of a bottle as you want with the water and go on.
Well,
nobody's going to cause an issue to it.
And I think that all goes back to the fact that in this country, we have turned into not only an entitlement mentality of the people, but also there is this expectation that others will be responsible for your safety and your sense of well-being. And so it's really easy to pull some of this stuff over on people because it falls right into their belief system that they're entitled to that perceived sense of safety and well-being.
Well, we're also overrun with political correctness, and obviously if you guys are asking people tough questions in your international airport and that's how you're finding who the good guys and the bad guys are, and we've made that an off-limits...
Because we're afraid of offending people who fit the profile.
Exactly. We're afraid of offending the people who are actually the problem. I don't even know what to say. Sorry.
Yes, but it becomes to a point where we see it. In Israel, we see a problem. We deal with it. Not always it's the best. You know, sometimes you have to learn. But the airport security is you want people to feel comfortable in going to the airport and wanting to go.
Sure.
And spend time. The stores, the shops want you to be there and spend time, come to the airport early. And in Israel, they tell you, yeah, if you go to international flight, come minimum 3 hours early, just in case if there's an issue with your bags or something, so you can check in and enjoy your time over there. And it's in a nice, friendly way. Yes, it can happen sometimes where they take you aside and it becomes a bit more tougher. But it's not that they're going to hurt you. It's not that they're going to detain you in a glass little box like they did to Rand Paul. It's, we don't have it. At the end of the day, he's a passenger. And we want to do everything that we can for his safety and the safety of everybody else and move on.
So how
but here in America, it's like, oh, no, we can't. it's too many agencies, to all the excuses that you can find, you will find here. Of why not to make the problem better and safer, and for sure also cost worthy.
So with all the expense and all the, you know, clothing items coming on and off and all this other ridiculousness, how easy is it still for somebody, if they wanted to and they knew what they were doing, how easy it is it to get through our security?
I would say if somebody knows what he's doing, very, very easy.
And it's probably safe to assume they know what they're
very
doing.
Easy.
We're lucky that more of them don't.
Yeah. Who? Okay, so just so we could feel better about ourselves.
Like the shoe bomber, for example.
Yeah.
He didn't really know what he was doing.
And the underwear guy, obviously, he had his own set of issues. But just so we could feel better about ourselves, who's worse off than we are?
Are
we at the bottom again?
Yeah, who's worse?
Yeah. Is there anybody?
I don't know.
Oh, that's not a good answer.
I don't follow who's worse than we are. I follow to look what we can do to make America and keep America number one. Yes, America also now controls other airports around the world, because America tells you want to fly to our country, you're going to have to start also taking liquid off the plane from passengers, and you're going to have to do, you know, America, that type of a certain, I call it, a certain intrusiveness, because at the end of the day, the airplane of wherever it is belongs to the country, it's a sovereignty of that country. Why is it that you're telling the airlines and other places in the world, oh, you want to travel to America, you're going to have to follow our guidelines?
Yeah, our guidelines that don't actually accomplish the job, which is extra sad. So what would, if you were king for a day, what would you do with the TSA agency?
First, I would probably get rid of everybody that's there, because with all the respect for those that are working there right now, I don't think going to a class that TSA gives you of a green button, red button, you know, this is how you follow the scanner, green button, red button, and every 12th person you count and pull them aside and then and pat them down if needed and everything, and this is what's going to be the resolution. Most of these guys have never seen how a bomb looks like. Most of these guys don't know what to be asked and a question if needed. You know, here they get a certain book, and this is the rules you're going to follow. And not being able to stand with thinking outside of the box. Oh, so what happens if I have a half a bottle of water that has 10 ounces, but it's already half, so maybe it's about 3-4 ounces. Can I take it in? Oh, no, the bowel is bigger than the 3 ounces. I have to take it away. We don't have anybody that can think with common sense.
Bingo. Common sense.
Oh, you said common sense and TSA all in the same phraseology. That's never good.
And to me, I would take the veterans. We talk so much about in America that the veterans have such a high unemployment. These guys have seen, these guys know, these guys have been there. Why not take guys with a bit of a background and put them in the job?
Yeah, no kidding. But that implies common sense.
There we go with that common sense thing again. We need to take a quick break so that we're not up against the top of the hour with just a big, long break. So we'll be back with you in 2 minutes. You are listening to We the People Radio here on KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460 530-605-4567.
Security, yeah. Without it, I'm at a great loss. Yes, I am now.
We're back. Bob's back. Bob, who is that?
That is R&B pioneer, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Etta James, who coincidentally, sadly, was laid to rest yesterday.
Yes.
But that was a mid-chart hit of hers back in the late 60s, appropriately titled Security.
Bob, you're so awesome. I just sit here and I watch you as you're just naming this stuff off the top of your head. I mean, you're not reading it off the screen. You know it.
Yeah, uh-oh. That's not a good sound.
One thing I know is we lost our guest, yes.
Uh-oh.
All right, I'll work on getting him back.
TSA.
So who hung up on who?
He was there when we went to the break.
Don't throw Bob under the bus. You just gave him a compliment. He's the only one who's close to the phone. Thank God we didn't do it.
I'm blaming the TSA.
There you go. It's probably TSA.
Yeah, they were tired of us talking about him.
Yep, stuck their hand in that whole water bottle half full.
Yeah, there you go.
Or half empty, I guess.
There you go.
They want all our water bottles half empty. Uh-oh, yes.
They
hear the disconnect signal there.
Seriously, when you go onto the plane with a water bottle, it has to be half empty?
Well, you can't have it half empty. If it has space in it, I guess you can't take it on. I guess I take as little as possible because I want to interact with them as little as possible because I'm kind of not really very... I'm bad. You know, they tell you have to stand right here, and it's like, what if
what happens if I stand over here?
I did that.
Yeah.
Bill was actually getting ripped, and I followed him.
I told you about the time I actually walked out of Costco and didn't let him check my receipt.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, you've confessed that on the air, actually.
we're like-minded souls, aren't we?
Last time I was at Costco, I was like... What if I just blow by this guy? He was old. I felt sorry for him.
I know.
Him.
And it really
like, don't give him a...
And you know what? It really upsets
them.
I
know.
I mean, I just have to know, well, what happens if I do this? That's all I want to know.
Yes.
I'm not saying I'm going to do it every time.
So people,
I just
when you
know.
Hear about these random acts that people do, Elizabeth put them up to it.
He's back.
He's back.
Oh, unless he's not.
He's back unless he's not. It was going so well.
Okay.
Okay, he's not back?
No, he's back. I think he's on the alternate line.
Let's I got to tell you, I never laughed this much
no,
this
that would
early
be
in the morning.
Tone. Oh, that's dial tone too. We've checked all our dial tone. Dial tone is working, by the way, people.
All right, I may have called him on the wrong line. Hang on.
That's okay. We'll check.
Operator
we'll
error.
Yes.
Tell him about the meeting tomorrow night or something.
Well, I was going to chat a little bit about coordination. That's been kind of a hot topic this week. Coordination, don't you think? Aaron.
I'm such a big help.
Aaron's on Twitter.
I just sit here and I look at her. You know what? All this stuff, I mean, okay, to just kind of stick with the theme of our show here, which is that yet again, you know, somebody coming from outside the country who's an expert in something that we really should be interested in being good at.
Yeah.
And yet we don't take any of this.
Yeah. Well, you know, the problem is we have so much bureaucracy that we get in our own way.
And I think most people get that.
It's ridiculous.
Okay, I think my phone was strip searched. He's back.
Yes.
Bob tried to call you.
Yes.
Okay.
It happens.
Yeah, well.
It is technology. It happens.
Mm-hmm. Bob figures we got to TSA, probably figured out who we were, and then whoosh, killed our program. Okay, so.
We have so much bureaucracy
here
in the U.S. We have what's called double, triple of the same agency, and nobody knows, you know, as we say, the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing, and that's a problem. And then we focus on how to enhance the individual, meaning that employee, the federal guy, whoever it may be, you know, with different classes, with different and leadership programs, whatever it is, but when it comes to facing the problem, we tend to somehow not really want to face it. And saying, okay, we have a problem, let's deal with it face on. Because the way I look at America is like you have cancer, and you have two ways of dealing with it. You either put on makeup and try to deny you have it, and then you're going to die, or you go and get an operation. That operation will hurt. It will be painful, but you're going to end up living for the next 50 years. And that's the issue that goes on in America. Do we want to keep putting on the makeup and eventually we'll collapse, or we want to say, hold on, I need to go into an operation, and it will be painful what we're going to do, but at least I know the next generation will be safer.
Well, I do think that most people realize that, you know, taking off your belt and all those kinds of things. I mean, we even go through this madness at our courthouses and all that. When I think most people, if they are properly trained, how long does it? Let me go at this from a little bit different angle. In Israel, for you guys to become good at what you do, like at your airport for airport security, is it the time you spend in the army? Like, is it the time you spend actually in battle that gives and dealing with all the terrorism? Is that what gives you the edge there?
It gives you a certain edge. Yeah, it depends on what unit in the military you come. It gives you an edge because the last 3 years you've been focusing on paying attention. If somebody carries a bag, if it may be suspicious, you know, you have it. And then you come into that field, and you come to the airport if you look for a job, and you spend there another 2 years or so, and then you move on. The airport in Israel does not keep the security people for over 2 years. Why? We don't want to have a point of complacency. Oh, this is my job, I know it. So what they do is, most of the guys are students. So the shift changes. After a year or two, new people come. The old ones are gone. So you constantly, fresh people that are there, that are in the battle, they're motivated, and they move on. The cycle continues.
Interesting.
So it's a different way to look at it. Here we take... You know, we walk by the airports and we see the people are there, and you kind of wonder what was this person was just fired from a different job, so he got a job here at TSA.
And he'll be here for life.
He'll be disconnected again here momentarily.
Yes.
Jeez. So that's where you go when you've been bad.
Okay. So if... Now that we've kind of identified part of the problem there, okay, so now we realize a lot of our security is you know, just for show. So if somebody's going to fly, and they really do want to be safe and they want to be part of the solution, what are a few simple things you'd recommend that they do or watch or...
So you go to the airport, you should be an average citizen. You go, you pack your bags the way you should, you come to the airport. I always say, I make sure I don't carry any metal or anything that can beep or cause them to pull me over one way or another, but I come to the checkpoint and tell them I'm going for the pat down. End of story. I've never went through one of those scanners from day one. And I stand there 2 seconds, okay, you get the pat down, and in my head I'm thinking, does the guy know the pat down, really know what he's doing, or just because they told him this is how you do it? Pat with the back of the hand, the front of the hand, you know? Or if I'm going to put him on a question one-to-one, in 5 seconds I'll know that he doesn't know anything when it comes to security because he's not from that field, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I keep my mouth shut, do what needs to be done, and go out. The shortest that I can spend in the security checkpoint, that's what I want.
Good thinking. And okay, we only have a minute left. A minute. There are so many things we could be talking about, tons of things. Give us an idea. Next hour, can we talk about politics?
Yes. Let's talk politics, anything you want.
Yeah, let's get our pulse rate up.
We got to talk some politics because things have really changed since the Obama administration when it comes to Israel and the country of Israel. And so our guest, Israel, will talk to us about that when we come back. We've got 5 minutes of news. So while you're listening to the news, grab a cup of coffee. We'll be right back with you. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to the second hour of We the People Radio. Just a reminder, we're streaming live and chatting at wethepeopleradio.us. The call-in number is 530-605-4567. If it's your first time tuning in, we're about limited government fiscal responsibility in adherence to the Constitution and anything that fits under that umbrella at any level. And actually, quite a bit does.
Exactly. That was
And common sense.
And common sense, yeah. We're clinging
That's
to that.
That's our fourth tenant.
We're clinging to what? God, guns, and common sense?
Mm-hmm.
Probably in that order, actually.
Yeah.
Actually, we should probably put common sense before guns.
That's probably a good idea.
Just considering that we're not that well-trained in this country, we should pay attention.
That's probably a good idea.
Okay. Yeah. So, we potentially have a caller. We're in holding pattern.
But we're with Yezreel Stanovsky today, and he's talking about the global training of first responders in catastrophic events and politics and everything about Israel and the United States. And Israel, being such a tiny country, really has it on the ball, don't they?
Mm-hmm. They've got it going on, and we have a...
Comrade Ann is joining us.
Comrade Ann, hi.
Hi. I have a question.
Sure.
For the guest.
You mean not for us? Oh, you see us all the time.
We don't know anything. That's why we have guests on.
You might have an answer as well.
We do.
I am wondering what would happen if someone was returning to, or someone was entering Israel and they offered their passport and their passport was not recognized in the system. I'm not sure what the system is, but the reason I ask is in 2008, I'd been out of the country for about 3 weeks, and when I was going through customs in Chicago, the customs officer tried and tried and tried, and they could not get whatever the system is to recognize my passport, and he said, oh, just you go ahead and go on through. And I'm wondering if anything like that would happen in Israel, because even though I don't think I look like a terrorist, really, what does a terrorist look like? And
we don't know because we can't profile.
Right, and I would have been happy for them to... I mean, really and truly, I think I should have been taken into a room and at least asked a couple questions. But I was wondering what would happen in Israel if that happened. If you didn't show up, if your documents weren't recognized. And I'll hang up and I'll listen on the radio.
Thanks, Ann.
Bye. Oh, okay. Okay. Bye-bye.
I will say, if you're a citizen and you come back to the country and somehow they swipe your passport and it doesn't work, you have always a number, an Israeli ID number. Every Israeli citizen from the age of 16 and on has an ID number that's who he is for the rest of his life. For everything you may need, you want to open up a bank account, here you're going to save it's your Social Security number. But the Social Security number in America does not combine to everything else.
Mm.
It's a job, it's open bank accounts, but in Israel, the number goes for everything.
And
that's the number. The worst case, they punch in the number. They're going to ask you, what's your number? And if you can say the number by heart and they see that you're not just making it up, they probably would let you go. Worst case, they put you in, call you into the Ministry of Interior, where in Israel they are in charge of the borders. And they have a small representative that sits always at the airport. And worst case, they'll send you over to him and problem solved in 2 minutes and you keep on going. If it's a U.S. citizen or somebody else, or you're not in the system, that I am sure they would take him over to the side and check first to make sure that the passport is a real passport and not fake. You know, that will do the work and eventually will let you in if they feel safe.
Interesting. And so do you have the problem, like we do with Social Security numbers, do you have the problem of identity theft?
I mean, no, I wouldn't say that. And the way America has it, because we have our numbers, and it's constantly, every day you have to use it. Mm. Here in Social Security, you go, you keep it, the card in the corner somewhere, and, you know, you don't use it on a daily basis. In Israel, if you want to do something, you have to use that number.
Interesting. So if somebody, was operating as you, you'd know immediately because it would pop up that day.
Nay, I would right away know somebody because I'm like, yeah, this is not this, and it's so open. When you give out your number, everybody hears it. It's not like quiet secret; nobody should know it.
Oh.
It's very open, and you give it over the phone. You give it over here. You need to call, let's say, to make an appointment with the doctor. They'll ask you, "What's your number?"
Oh, no kidding.
So it's not something, they right away, it's on it.
Hmm. And so how long have you guys done it that way?
Since I remember. So I guess it's many years.
So basically you've tried it out and a pretty decent system. I think here, if they tried to give everybody a number and they said this is what you'll use for everything, I think people might freak out a little bit.
Yes, but at the end of the day, that's what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. We freak out about the funniest things. And I guess I mean that facetiously. Yeah. Okay, so talk to us about the difference. You and I were chatting about this the other day. I think we've seen it in our even in our media, you can see it. But with relations with Israel, U.S. is Israel relations since the Obama administration came in.
I love how the Obama administration, President Obama, talks about the relationship with Israel is the best, strongest than every other administration. You know, I love how it's said. And if you're going to ask him a few things, what is it? He's going to come back to when the Arab Spring in Cairo happened and they stormed the Israeli embassy and the diplomats were locked in the room and they wanted to hurt them, so the president interfered to do something about it. Shouldn't a normal country ally do it to one another? This is your big thing that you did to help Israel. Why, if it would have been President Bush, he wouldn't have done it. There would have been somebody else. Hillary Clinton, she wouldn't have done it. Israel is your ally. And if Israel needs your help, you pick up the phone and make that phone call. And this is what you tell me the best relationship between Israel is. You know what? I will tell you the difference between administrations were it's about getting the things done between the both administrations, whether it was Bush or whether it's Obama. At the end of the day, Israel is America's strongest ally. Israel is the only country they will fight to save America if push comes to shove and if needed. You won't find any other country. And that nibbing at Israel, and I'm saying it, and both administrations have done it, maybe to keep the Arab countries a bit more happy. Nibbing at Israel, this is what you don't do to a friend. Just to make it look to the other countries, oh yeah, we're going to slap Israel around the corner and let them do it. Let me see America nibbing at other countries around the world, and will they take it? Try have America nibbing at Russia and see how quick they will take what you do to them. After a day, they'll go berserk on you. Israel, we keep our mouths shut and we do it. The prime minister comes and the president makes a bit fun of him in a corner and you know, we keep our head down because at the end of the day, we are strong allies. We need the help from the U.S. You know, that's also a debate whether Israel needs that aid or not. You know, whether we should continue taking the aid from America, but maybe we shouldn't, and then we'll have the freedom to do and act the way we want and not have always Uncle Sam tell us, stop now when you what you're doing against the war on terror, and, you know, always telling you what to do. But that's already a different debate. But, yes, so I wouldn't say that it was the best friendship. It's the average friendship that we keep in the same with Israel.
one another.
What do the citizens of Israel think about the current administration, and how do they view American citizens?
The average Israeli citizen looks up to America. Good friends, everything. The Israeli society is very tied with America. But that's the individual versus the individual. If you will come to Israel, you'll realize where people are so friendly to you and open to you, and they speak English, and it's fun. And Israelis think only what happened in America could only happen in America, because America is a dreamland, that you can have a president like that, and you can elect who knows characters to run your offices. And so we kind of sit and laugh seeing what's going on to America.
We do too now.
And Israelis are very much in tune to politics. Mm. So they pay attention to everything that's going on in America. And for sure, not maybe in the local politics, but in the national level, yes, they pay attention. Mm. And every right now, if I come back to Israel and I walk around, oh, so who's going to win the primary? Is it Romney? They know the names. They know that every 18, 19-year-old kid is involved and knows what's going on. Mm. And do you think, well, Obama's going to get reelected? Do you think he's going to win? It becomes, again, because we so attach both countries that it's, you know, it's part of our life cycle.
What do they think of the current administration?
What do they think? Mm-hmm. That it's only in America it can happen.
Okay.
On so many levels. How true is that? All right, we're going to come back. We're going to chat a little bit more about this. You're listening to We the People Radio here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
I hear Jerusalem bells ringing, Roman cavalry choirs are singing. Be my mirror, my sword and shield, my missionaries in a foreign field. For some reason I can't explain, I know St. Peter won't call my name, never alone this world, but that was when I ruled the world.
Hey, we're back. And Bob, who was that?
That's Coldplay.
Oh, okay.
Viva La Vida.
Every time I hear them, I really like them. I never know that it's them because I'm not a huge, you know, I don't have the music encyclopedia running around in my head that you do. But every time I hear Coldplay, I really like them.
I stopped listening after the 70s, so I have no idea who they are.
So I was flipping through the February issue of Enjoy Magazine during this two-minute break, and I flipped to an absolutely stunning photograph of Carl and Linda Bott. So everybody pick up the February issue of Enjoy Magazine when it comes out.
They are the rock stars in this month's issue. Yes.
God, it's a gorgeous picture.
There
Seriously.
You have it. Okay. So on that random note.
I like to be random. I want to shake it up a little once in a while. You know me.
That doesn't shake it up. Telling us about your Costco escapades, that shakes it up. For heaven's sakes. All right. Israel, pull us back on track. What haven't we talked about yet that people should know? Hello?
What have we not talked about?
Yeah. What are we missing?
We talked about everything, and we should talk more about, you know, what do people need to be more engaged in everything that goes on, whether it's in your local community or wherever you may feel to be a part of, and realizing who you send, who's in charge of you, and what's going on. And not that I want to say be more aware and count on government. Like, you shouldn't forget that you are the boss when it comes to government. You are the one that's paying the taxes. You are the one that's voting. They work for you. And that's something that I think people totally lost it, and they always look up, oh, how can we, how shall I say, kiss up to the politician, and not realizing, yes, I am the boss. You work for me. And I think that's what people need to bring back to the forefront.
Do you find that people here are less engaged in the process of how their country runs than they are back in Israel?
Yeah, totally.
Well, and Israel has always had so much to lose, and in America, we've always had everything to gain, and we're comfortable and satisfied.
Well,
and
nobody's lobbing bombs over the wall at us.
I mean,
yes, but I agree, but it's a different mindset. So in Israel, and we are involved because we had terrorism all the time, but if not, we still have the politics around. We are more engaged. We don't have, let's call it that way, and so many other subjects to be involved in. We don't have a Hollywood that every day, that's what most of Americans care about. What did this actress wear? What did she do? And what did he do? You know, we don't have that. We focus more on what I call a substance of what's going to happen in the country. Do we really care if the Israeli model actress wore this, or she took a paparazzi, took a picture of it here? Yeah, it may make it somewhere in the headline, somewhere in page number 6 of the newspaper, or whether it's on the website, but this is not what the main focus of Israelis are. The whole, every average kid in the morning, you come to school, wherever it is, right away it's politics. So did you see what this said? Did you see what he said? You know, when it comes to politics, everybody has an opinion. In Israel, we kind of say we have 7 million citizens, we have 7 million prime ministers.
Wow. And they actually know who their prime minister is.
Yes, they do.
Interesting. So, you know, with that, do you guys have the you know, since you have, you know, the Palestinians right next door and everything, how does that work out on a daily basis? Because for us, it looks scary.
On a daily basis, if you live in the city, you don't face it. If you live what's so-called occupied territory, then if nothing happens, you wouldn't see anything. You certain areas you live, you may drive through a little checkpoint, and then if you Israeli, they look at you and keep going. If you a Palestinian, they may question you a few more questions just to make sure, and to make sure where you check your ID so you can see what neighborhood villages you live, if you live in the occupied territory, just for the safe side. So you don't really have everyday things going on. But days, if you live in the south, yeah, you're going to get rockets shot over almost every other day. So you're going to live in that constant fear that it takes you only 15 seconds from the minute the siren goes off that a rocket was shot until you have to come into shelter. So that's a whole different life ball, knowing that you have only 15 seconds. But as long as there's no rocket, you try to live life as best and the fullest you can.
Sure, that makes sense. How many, on average, what percentage of your population comes to America or has been here, you know, on any kind of frequent basis?
I would say, if not for the concept of needing a visa to come to the U.S., almost every Israeli would be here already. So average Israeli looks to come to travel to America, but we talk about America, where we're our best allies. To Europe, we have waivers, you know, the U.S. and Europe. To Israel, you need, that's your best ally, you need a visa. So it takes, if you're a regular student, your chances are very slim to get a visa if you want to just come visit, because they look at who's paying for your ticket, do you have income, and all the reasons why you should be going back to Israel. And if you come to America, you're going to decide to stay here. You know, so I would say average every Israeli, the minute he gets opportunity, he will get a chance to come to America.
Interesting. And yet, just a huge percentage. I grew up on the East Coast, and a lot of people on the East Coast are Jewish, for openers. And so travel to Israel is pretty frequent. But here on the West Coast, not very many people have been.
Yes, so maybe it's time for them to go. I know it's far. It's only a plane ride away, you know.
Well, it always I guess this kind of takes us to your other job, if you will. I think a lot of people would think it would be dangerous to go there, but you do. You have a whole program where you take people around. Give us a little more insight into that and how often you do that.
The other sites, I'm so used to doing trips, Homeland Security trainings coming over to Israel, and then eventually I bumped into somebody that said, he was a pastor of a church, and said, you know, I would like to bring my church and goers to Israel. Would you set up something? And I said, on one condition, that I will show them the real Israel. And I know there's hundreds of tour companies, and they say we're the best, and they show you the sightseeing and all the historical side. That you'll see by me, too. But the focus is how you're going to connect to the land, spiritually, and then also what I mean physically. You're going to go to areas where nobody goes. You're going to see the real biblical history. The places, I can take you to places that you're going to stand in, you're going to open up the Bible, and you're going to look at and read quote by quote verse, and you're going to realize you're standing exactly where those verses were talked about. And go back and realize that, yes, here's where the beginning of civilization happened, in the land of Israel. And then also go connect to the land. Go meet IDF troops. Become a soldier for a day. Become and feel a part to the country that you stand with at all time. And I do it, and that's what I want. I want people to come to Israel and get that experience, that everything the media says about Israel, how dangerous it is, it isn't. Most of the people that I've seen in Israel, and I mean Americans, say they feel safer in Israel than their own neighborhood. And it's, in a sense, safe. I'm saying you could be a 6-7-year-old girl, a woman, a 20-year-old woman or so, at 2 a.m. walk around downtown Jerusalem and you'll feel safe.
Wow, that's nice. I wonder what that feels like. Yeah, interesting concept. Let's take a quick break. Let's go a little bit early so we have a little bit more time. We'll be right back with you. We're listening to Israel Stefana, and we're on We the People Radio. Are we all set, Bob? Are we good?
Stefanski, but yes.
Oh, Stefanski, that's right. Sorry, I wasn't looking at my website. I'm looking at these guys talking about sausages and bacon on the chat room. Chat room's open.
It's going downhill once again.
It is. The chat room's open, by the way, wethepeopleradio.us. If you can handle multitasking, do that. We'll be right back with you on KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Go walking to Jerusalem. Marching with Methuselah, reading signs in Arabic, raving like a lunatic. By the time you tell me I'm the one, I'll be sticking out my thumb and walking to Jerusalem. Freedom is the only thing.
Can you handle the truth? Are you tired of the mainstream media spin? Do you believe that the economy is recovering? Are you prepared for the economic collapse that's coming? Are you prepared for hyperinflation? Do you think the government will solve your problems? Do you care about your children's future? Are you self-reliant? Will you fight for your freedom? Want solutions? Want the truth? Tune in to 1460 Sovereign Minds Radio now at 8 o'clock on Saturday mornings, where we always handle the truth.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Problem.
Welcome back to Free Fire
to that
Media.
Other thing.
And this morning's edition of We the People. Now your hosts, Aaron and Elizabeth.
Hey, what happened to the music, Bob?
I'm still trying to figure that out.
Hey, so I do have, and just to take a little side trip here, I do have good
news.
That
wasn't a side trip?
That I've been reading that the American public is not as enamored with Hollywood like they used to be. Like, nobody watches the Oscars anymore. I actually read about a guy that got a $25 gift card to the movie theater. He didn't see the point, so he re-gifted it.
Nice.
How cool is that?
Well, because most of the people now, you know what their politics are, and you can't stand to watch them in the movie.
Nope. Hey, so can we talk a little bit about the Israel Support Fund? We haven't touched on that.
Yes, Israel Support Fund was established in 2004 as a first responder on the scene and being involved all the years since the age of 15. And I've seen the problems that went on and what people have been facing. And I had friends of mine when in 2002-2003 the Israeli government went to an operation into the Gaza Strip, Judea and Samaria called the Defensive Shield Operation. And it took like about from March to May when the operation took to, you know, arrest as many potential suicide bombers and fight. And at one point, 13 soldiers were killed at one point. You know, they were trapped. And one of those soldiers was a friend of mine. And his wife came over to me, and she had a first child and the second one on the way. And she said, you know, I need some help. And she said she went over to a organization that, you know, was saying they're going to help for victims of terror. And they told her that her story of the death of a husband is not that exciting, marketable.
Ooh.
Mm. And that literally, I felt like a spear in my heart. And I said, you know what? Don't worry. I have enough friends, and I'll do everything I can to help you. And that's when I formed Israel Support Fund and trying to raise money from friends that care for Israel, for the land, for the victims, for the family in need over there, for the military, whatever we can, hospitals.
Yeah, because I noticed
that since I started,
you try to fund some of the lower income hospitals that most of the larger donors overlook.
Correct. I go to any case because I'm so involved. The way I call it on the field from a very young age, so I know the bureaucracy, and I know the truth, where there's truth that goes on. And I go to it, and I cut the red tape. I'll go, and if a hospital tells me this and this is what we need, I will go, and I, right away, if I have the money, there we go. And again, it's a nonprofit organization. I don't take on myself any causes if there's no money in the bank. I'll never go below the red ink.
You mean you stick to a budget?
Yes.
What an idea.
Wow, there's a new concept.
Let's see, you identify the problem, you fund it, you fix it, and then you move to the next problem. Huh.
Ooh.
Yeah. Huh. I think there's a pattern. What a good idea.
It's, again, people have worked hard for that money, and if they decide they want to donate to a cause, they send me as a representative. I cannot play around with that money. It's theirs. It belongs to the cause. So am I going to take a chance doing a cause that will cost more than what we actually have? No, I can't. It's like stealing from somebody. You can't do it. So that was my ABC when I started Israel Support Fund. It's a volunteer thing that I'm doing. It's something that I care for to help out. And if there's no money, I don't do anything. I don't owe anybody anything. You know, I'm not in charge of anything that somebody says you have to help out.
A true grassroots movement.
Fabulous. Well, and for people who are listening, I would encourage you to go to wethepeopleradio.us. All those websites and the contact information and all that is on there. It's easier than just rattling all that off. But we have Don Shulman, I guess, on the call-in line. Don, are you out front in the studio? Where are you? Are you on your way in?
And do you have your little friend with you? Most importantly, do you have your little friend with you?
I have my friend with me. He insisted on coming.
Now, that's Israel, a private joke.
Israel is more than it is. If you get there and get into it, it gets ingrained in you. It is a cultural phenomenon. It's, as was said, it's the start of civilization, but it can be much more meaningful. It's just hard to describe when the feeling overcomes you and you realize where you're at.
That's awesome. When were you there last time?
I was several years ago. I've been there twice, and both times, if you let yourself live it and live the history, both Jewish and Christian, you really come away with a great feeling.
That's nice.
And why should people, and why should people go to the movies now and spend a small fortune when you can see them at home?
Hey, and I'm a big fan of foreign films. I have a whole bunch of them, and I got to tell you, they're a lot better. They don't feel commercial.
That's because you're busy reading.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Well, I got into a debate with somebody over visual and over a book, and a book is great, but they're both great. They're both worth doing.
That's awesome, Don. So what's your program about today?
Oh, today we've got like our weekend magazine. We're talking about the Sir Optimist, Mardi Gras. Then we've got a doctor coming on to talk about your body, and then we've got talking about the February bridal show. So we have kind of our weekend magazine thing going.
Nice.
Elizabeth's kind of freaked out that you're going to be talking about her body, but she'll get over it by the time you get here.
Oh yeah. Ours is kind of a mishmash of things. I always love following We the People. You usually say some great things where we just kind of...
You take it and run with it.
Yeah, he gets the last word. So hang out after the top of the hour and you'll pick up with the Don Schulman Show.
Thank you. And I'm really interested in your topic again. It's interesting to me. It's home a little bit.
Thanks, Don. See you in a bit.
Okay.
I hear that a lot, Israel, from people who go to your country, that they feel like they've gone back in time. I mean, it's a modern country, but there's so much history.
I think it's what he's saying is that they come back to reality.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
You come back to Israel. Yes, you connect to your roots, whether it's Jewish or Christian or whatever you want to may call it, and realize this is the ABC of civilization, and you realize you're disconnecting from this, what we call the America, for as long as you're there, and you're connecting to something more real, I think. And then when you come home and you feel like something has changed, you know. There's something about visiting. I'm not that I'm the minister of tourism and trying to promote by coming to Israel. Yes, I say if you want to come, I say you want to go to the website, you'll have a time of your life. I'll make sure of that.
That's great.
Yes, I look out and I say I will put out the red carpet because I want to continue building the relationship between the U.S. American civilians and the Israeli civilians. What's going to keep the both countries strong is the relationship between the individual, not the governments, because governments change and go.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people that the solid relationship tie that we will have will be by the individual.
And what do you think is the, besides visiting each other's countries and all that, for people who just really don't have the means to travel internationally at this point, how would you suggest that they get a feel for your country or that they become informed about what's going on over there besides the mainstream news?
Just as you say, you search online, try to find the truth. Don't let anybody sell you, you know, any bogus stories about Israel. And if somebody tells you a story, try to verify it, see how truth it is. and do as much as you can. I know you have, whether if you're in California, I know you have sometimes Israeli officials come to visit California, try to attend to one of their events where you can hear them talk about Israel and the relationship between Israel and America. There's always something that goes on.
Now,
and again, if you want, I think it comes on, don't expect it to come to you. You have to go find it.
So are you aware of any type of a publication, like a DVD publication, the History Channel, National Geographic? Is there any organization that's put out a realistic version of the history of Israel? So if you were to plug into something like that, you know, you went onto Amazon and you bought that DVD set, would you know that you were getting the truth? Is there anything you recommend?
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
Okay.
You're busy making the news, not
Yes, it's like, you know, we make the news. We know the news before it even actually happens. That's the joke in Israel, that we're so in tune and involved. But yes, I'm on the front line. I don't realize what marketers and people are doing. I'm sure there is. I'm sure there's hundreds of different websites that talk about Israel. The Foreign Ministry of Israel is supposed to be doing job. And in the Bay Area, you guys have San Francisco. There's the Israeli consulate over there. I'm sure they can call and ask for information about Israel or go on their website. I'm out there to protect the people and to do everything that we can to make sure they have a better life and save their life if we need to. All the behind the scenes, it doesn't really make a matter to me.
So you moved to Israel with your family when you were a small boy.
No, he was born in Israel.
Oh, you were
no, born, I was
in,
born
Israel.
In Israel.
So so you have a large family. Mm-hmm.
Seven brothers.
Okay, and have any of them followed in your footsteps?
Nope.
Nope.
Yeah, it is very simple. Every brother went to something else, but to me, in the family, I was the youngest. Again, when I was 15, they got involved into something like that. So there's a purpose, seeing a bus explode. Afterwards, later on, I had another brother that joined what we call the Red Cross. If I put it to Israel, you know, to become an EMT and a medic as well, to be involved. But that's as close as I had another brother getting involved.
Mm. Okay. Interesting.
But they're all very in tune. You know, when the brothers come home, if it's a holiday or something, it becomes in right. Deep into politics and deep in what goes on, and you know, even if you're not in that field, you still your head is still there in a way.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna need to take a swift break. When we come back, I'd like you to give us a little bit of a rundown on some of the agencies you've trained. We didn't really cover that. We got close and veered off somehow. Imagine that on this program. You're listening to We the People Radio here on KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
From a distance, you look like my friend, even though we of lungs. It's the heart of every man.
Wow. Bette Midler. Love her. Haven't heard her in a long time.
Except we had people in the chat room going, make it stop. Please make it stop.
Oh, I like her. That's a great choice, Bob.
Well, thank you.
It was a great choice, except the people in the chat room were writing in all caps, please make it stop.
There's the classic rock fans.
Yeah, well, they can just sit back and type in all caps, can't they? All right.
Hey, I have a question before you get to your final topic.
Are you going
to
call in?
Do I have to? Would it sound better if I called in? Probably not.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just curious on Israel's take, both the guest and the nation of Israel, on the Arab Spring uprising and how that's affecting Israeli politics, Egypt in particular.
Affecting Israeli politics is not that much. We are putting the eyes on what's going on over there. There's no question about it that the world got the opposite of what they called it, the Arab Spring. Oh, more democratic, more whatever you may want to call it. Yes, over 70% is not the Muslim Brotherhood. They are controlling, and it's just a matter of time. As we see it day after day, where they are becoming more anti-America, anti-Israel, more vocal about it. It doesn't happen in one day. It takes time. There's something the West needs to remember. America, the West, whichever way you want to look at it, we want our result right now. In the click of a button, mm-hmm. We want our result. The Muslim world thinks from today for 70 years down the road. Whatever I want to do is that my great-great-great-grandchildren could be in Jerusalem. You know what I mean? So they're not in a rush to do something. It's the same thing comes back to America. We were attacked in 9/11, but we didn't now get attacked a year later, so we're safe. They're not in a rush. They showed you they can do it. They did it back 7 years prior when they tried it the first time. And it doesn't mean they won't try it again or do something else. It doesn't mean in that magnitude. They're not in a rush. They got to where they wanted. Yes, they wanted to throw over Mubarak. They did it. The next step is on their plan. No rush. I know that here in the West we want to see results right away. But they don't want the results right away. They take it one day at a time. So Israel is aware of what's going on over there. And we will have to adapt accordingly. Yes, the Middle East is not exactly as comfortable as we may want to be. The average Israeli, I don't think, gets up in the morning and loses a day of thought because, oh my God, what's going to be with Egypt? Our life continues, but we have to be what's called aware. Know who your enemies are around you. Now, do I think anything is going to happen between Egypt and Israel? No, because they're going to lose out of it. So things will stay in a certain way. The same thing would happen in Gaza, where Israel told the U.S., don't let them run for elections, and then they won the elections. Yes, they have, you know, we had the skirmishes going on between them. But as a government, they need to remember, if you're going to look back to the history, a lot of terrorist organizations learned you can't just fight terror, you know, in the sense be a terrorist. You also have to have a little branch called politics. And you see, Hamas is in the government, Hezbollah is in the government, and Lebanon, everybody somehow has a party in the government right now. So then they can play it, and when they cause something, they always blame it on the other. Oh, it wasn't the Hamas, it was somebody else. It wasn't, you know, the world changed. So the war on terrorism and the fight is not like it was in the 70s. It's different. So every terrorist organization today has also a branch of it in the government, because that's how you get legitimacy. And that's what the West has to pay attention to.
And so when you... our organizations go to Israel, like people from Homeland Security and... you know, you had made mention of like FBI and some of those. They come to Israel and you help train them, or is it all done here?
No. I love most of the training when they do come to Israel. They do come to Israel. I've had over close to 100 agencies from across the U.S. that came over to Israel. You know, from... And then also we, the Israelis, we come over here because you can't take the whole America to Israel, you know. There's a limit of how many can go at a time. So we try to do it the back and forth. And yes, agencies from that were trained were from the top, the CIA, to the lowest fire department in your area. That's all the different levels that we were.
Interesting.
And we train and we try to do it. And even in your local area now, the Bay Area, I know you guys are going to be having a big event coming starting this summer, and already the agencies around, some of them have contacted me, what can we do to better prepare? You're having this America's Cup competition, and it's going to bring a lot of people, but you need to be aware.
Hmm. I wasn't even aware we were having the America's Cup in the Bay Area.
We're about 3 hours north of the Bay Area, so we have no idea what they're doing down there.
You know, but always there's things going on, and some have an interest in actually looking and seeing what can they do better to protect the citizens or the events that may go on in the area. Not that everything Israelis have the answer for. But when you're talking about a mass event and something may happen, in America they'll shut the whole thing down right away for days. In Israel, we will just shut down the area that was affected and let everybody think everything else continue as it was. Because life needs to continue. Because if you shut things down, they won the war.
True.
That simple. And it's all, again, part of the war on terror is about propaganda.
Well, who is, you know, of our agencies here, who really seems to take the message to heart and want to make the adjustments and improve, and who basically gets an F, you know, for effort?
I will tell you, it's very few that take it to heart. And sometimes those few that want to make the changes get clobbered over the head by the bosses above, whether they are part of the agency or they were elected to be in the agency. You know what I mean? So, then throughout the training that I did over all the years, I have seen in very few agencies across the nation, guys, you know, that were part, men and women that were part of it, that actually look to make changes. Some were able. Some say it's not the time yet, you know, because what are we going to change? Well, we're going to do, well, as I call the old boys club, we did things this way, so this is how we're going to keep it, and not put in the common sense into it. Here in America, we train and we say we have a book, a protocol for how things are going to go. And I always say, imagine you learned that a suicide bomber is going to blow himself in a bus. You're going to do A, B, C, and D for it. And I say, now he blew himself up with a truck. What are you going to do then? Oh, you're going to have to go to the book and open and see what happens. I say, we don't have a book. Because every time from my experience when a suicide bomber happened, the result was always different than the first one. The scenarios are the same. Not a bus, the buses are the same. But the impact, the results, the amount killed, the how it looks, the scene, always it's worse. So you can't always say, I'm prepared. I have a book somewhere on my shelf saying how it's going to happen, a syllabus that will tell me how to deal with the scene. You have to come with an open mindset and expect the unexpected. And when you expect the unexpected, that's how you should have the mindset. How to deal with it, how to deal with the problem, and how to get it solved as fast as you can.
Awesome. Hey, thanks, Israel, for being with us. Hope people will tune into the website, wethepeopleradio.us, learn more about this, and send the archive to your friends. Thanks so much. We hope to have you
thanks
on again
very
soon.
Much. God Thank you. Bless you.
Yeah, God thanks bless both our countries, huh?
Yes.
All righty.
You need it. Thank you.
We
have a good
week. All righty, you too. Bye-bye.